Welcome to your GCSE Business Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving into topic 1.3, putting a business idea into practice. This is one of the most important topics in the whole specification because it covers the financial foundations every business needs to survive. We're talking business aims and objectives, revenue, costs and profit, cash flow forecasting, and sources of finance. By the end of this episode, you'll have everything you need to tackle exam questions on this topic with confidence. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with business aims and objectives. Now, these two words, aims and objectives, come up constantly in the exam, and candidates often mix them up. So let's be crystal clear. An aim is the overall long-term goal of a business. Think of it as the big picture, the destination. For example, a new bakery might have the aim of becoming the most popular bakery in the local area. It's broad, it's inspiring, but it's not very measurable. An objective, on the other hand, is a specific, measurable target that helps the business achieve its aim. Using our bakery example, an objective might be to increase sales by 20% within the first year. Notice how that's specific and measurable. You can actually check whether you've achieved it. Examiners love the word SMART when it comes to objectives. SMART stands for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. If a question asks you to evaluate a business objective, always check it against these five criteria. A good objective hits all five. Now, what kinds of objectives do businesses set? For a new small business, the most common objectives are survival, just staying open and covering costs in that difficult first year, and profit maximization, which means making as much profit as possible. As a business grows, objectives might shift towards growth, increasing market share, or even improving customer satisfaction. Examiners will credit you for recognizing that objectives change over time and depend on the stage of the business. Here's an exam tip. If a question gives you a business scenario and asks about objectives, always link your answer back to the specific context. A brand new startup is likely focused on survival. An established business might be focused on growth or market share. Never give a generic answer. Always apply it to the business in the question. Now let's move on to revenue, costs, and profit, the number crunching section that candidates either love or dread. But I promise you, once you understand the logic, the calculations are straightforward. Revenue is the total amount of money a business receives from selling its goods or services. The formula is simple. Revenue equals selling price multiplied by quantity sold. So if a business sells 200 units at £5 each, the revenue is on £1,000. Examiners sometimes call this sales revenue or turnover. They all mean the same thing. Now costs. There are two types you absolutely must know. Fixed costs and variable costs. Fixed costs are costs that do not change with the level of output. Whether the business produces 10 units or 10,000 units, fixed costs stay the same. Examples include rent, insurance, and manager salaries. Think of fixed costs as the costs you'd still have to pay even if you sold nothing. Variable costs are costs that do change with the level of output. The more you produce, the higher your variable costs. Examples include raw materials, packaging, and delivery costs. If you produce more, you need more materials, so the cost goes up. Total costs is simply fixed costs plus variable costs. And here's the key formula. Profit equals revenue minus total costs. If revenue is greater than total costs, you make a profit. If total costs are greater than revenue, you make a loss. Let me give you a worked example. Imagine a business sells handmade candles at £8 each. In a month, they sell 300 candles. Their fixed costs, rent and insurance, come to £600. Their variable costs, wax, wicks, and jars, are £2 per candle, so £600 in total. Rate times 300 equals £2,400. Total costs, 600 plus 600 equals £1,200. Profit, 2,400 minus 1,200 equals £1,200. In the exam, always show you're working. Even if you get the final answer wrong, you can still earn method marks for showing the correct formula and steps. One more concept here, interest. Examiners often ask about the impact of interest rates on a business. Higher interest rates mean higher loan repayments, which increases costs and reduces profit. This is a classic application question. always link the concept back to its impact on the business's finances. Let's talk about cash flow, and this is where a lot of candidates pick up easy marks or lose them, depending on how well they understand the difference between cash flow and profit. Cash flow is the movement of money into and out of a business over a period of time. Cash inflows are money coming in, things like sales revenue, bank loans, and owner investment. Cash outflows are money going out, things like rent, wages, stock purchases, and utility bills. Net cash flow is inflows minus outflows. If inflows are greater than outflows, net cash flow is positive. If outflows are greater than inflows, net cash flow is negative. Now, here's the critical distinction that examiners love to test. A business can be profitable but still have negative cash flow. How? Imagine a business sells goods on credit. The customer buys now but pays in 60 days. The business has made a sale, so it's profitable on paper, but the cash hasn't arrived yet. Meanwhile, the business still has to pay its rent and wages this month. It runs out of cash even though it's technically making a profit. This is called a cash flow problem, and it's one of the most common reasons new businesses fail. In the exam, you'll often be asked to complete or interpret a cash flow forecast table. The key formulas are net cash flow equals total inflows minus total outflows, and closing balance equals opening balance plus net cash flow. The closing balance of 1 month becomes the opening balance of the next month. Make sure you know this, it comes up almost every year. How can a business improve its cash flow? There are several strategies. Getting a bank overdraft to cover short-term shortfalls, chasing debtors to pay sooner, delaying payments to suppliers, or cutting costs. Examiners will credit you for explaining the strategy and linking it to the specific business context. Now let's cover sources of finance. How does a new business actually get the money it needs to start up? Sources of finance are split into two categories, internal and external. Internal sources come from within the business itself. The most common for a new business is personal savings. The owner uses their own money. This has no interest and no repayment, but the amount available is limited. Retained profit, keeping profits in the business rather than paying them out, is another internal source. But this only applies to businesses that are already trading. External sources come from outside the business. A bank loan provides a lump sum that is repaid with interest over an agreed period. Good for large purchases, but adds to costs. An overdraft allows the business to spend more than it has in its bank account. Flexible, but expensive due to high interest charges. Crowdfunding involves raising small amounts of money from a large number of people, usually via an online platform like Kickstarter. Great for building a customer base, but takes time and effort. Share capital involves selling shares to investors. This raises large amounts with no repayment, but the owner gives up some control of the business. The exam will often ask you to recommend a source of finance for a specific business. Always justify your recommendation by considering the size of the business, how much money is needed, whether the business can afford repayments, and whether the owner wants to retain control. Now let's get into exam tips and common mistakes. This is where you can really gain an edge over other candidates. The number one mistake I see is candidates confusing cash flow with profit. Remember, profit is revenue minus total costs. It's an accounting concept. Cash flow is about the actual movement of money in and out of the business. A business can be profitable, but cash poor if customers haven't paid yet. Never use these terms interchangeably in the exam. Examiners will penalize you for it. Mistake number two, not applying answers to the business in the question. If the question says, a small bakery, your answer should reference a small bakery. It's likely costs, it's likely customers, it's likely objectives. Generic answers that could apply to any business will only reach the lower mark levels. Mistake number three, forgetting to show working in calculation questions. Even if you make an arithmetic error, you can still earn marks for using the correct formula. Always write out the formula first, then substitute the numbers. Mistake number four, confusing fixed and variable costs. Remember, fixed costs do not change with output. If a question asks you to identify a fixed cost and you write raw materials, that's wrong. Raw materials are variable because you need more of them when you produce more. Mistake number five, in recommend questions, candidates often just list options without justifying their choice. Examiners want to see reasoning. Use phrases like, this is appropriate because, or this would be the best option for this business because. Always link back to the specific context. Now for command words, these tell you exactly what the examiner wants. State or identify means give a brief answer, one or two words or a short phrase. Describe means give more detail about what something is. Explain means give a reason or cause. Use the word because to force yourself to explain, not just describe. Analyze means break something down and examine its impact in detail. Evaluate or justify means weigh up the evidence, consider both sides, and reach a clear judgment. The more marks a question is worth, the more depth and application you need. Time management tip. In a typical GCSE business exam, aim for roughly 1 minute per mark. So a 6-mark question should take about 6 minutes. Don't spend 15 minutes on a 2-mark question. Move on and come back if you have time. Now it's time for your quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the formula for revenue? The answer is selling price multiplied by quantity sold. Question 2. What is the difference between a fixed cost and a variable cost? Fixed costs do not change with output. Variable costs do change with output. Question 3. What is the formula for profit? Revenue minus total costs. Question 4. What does SMART stand for when talking about business objectives? Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-bound. Question 5. What is the formula for closing balance in a cash flow forecast? Opening balance plus net cash flow. Question 6. Name 2 internal sources of finance: personal savings and retained profit. Question 7. Why might a profitable business still have cash flow problems? Because customers may not have paid yet. The cash hasn't arrived even though the sale has been made. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Topic 1.3. Putting a business idea into practice covers 4 main areas. First, business aims and objectives. Aims are broad, long-term goals. Objectives are specific, measurable targets, and the best ones are SMART. Objectives change depending on the stage and size of the business. Second, revenue, costs, and profit. Revenue equals selling price times quantity sold. Total costs equals fixed costs plus variable costs. Profit equals revenue minus total costs. Always show your working calculations. Third, cash flow. Cash flow is the movement of money in and out of a business. Net cash flow equals inflows minus outflows. Closing balance equals opening balance plus net cash flow. A business can be profitable but still have cash flow problems. This is a key distinction examiners love to test. Fourth, sources of finance. Internal sources include personal savings and retained profit. External sources include bank loans, overdrafts, crowdfunding, and share capital. When recommending a source, always consider the size of the business, the amount needed, and whether the owner wants to retain control. Before your exam, make sure you can write out all the key formulas from memory, explain the difference between cash flow and profit, complete a cash flow forecast table, and recommend and justify a source of finance for a given business scenario. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions, and remember, the more you apply your knowledge to specific business contexts, the higher your marks will be. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode. Let's go deeper on one of the most important practical tools a new business uses, the business plan. A business plan is a written document that sets out a business's aims, objectives, strategies, and financial forecasts. It serves 2 main purposes. First, it helps the entrepreneur think through every aspect of the business before they launch, identifying potential problems before they become real ones. Second, it's used to persuade external stakeholders, particularly banks and investors, to provide finance. What does a business plan typically contain? It will include a description of the business idea and the product or service being offered. It will outline the target market, who the customers are, and why they will buy. It will include a marketing plan, how the business will reach its customers, and crucially, it will contain financial forecasts, projected revenue, costs, profit, and a cash flow forecast. Examiners often ask, why is a business plan important? The key reasons are, it forces the entrepreneur to research and plan carefully, reducing the risk of failure. It helps identify potential cash flow problems before they occur, and it gives lenders and investors the confidence to provide finance. But here's a nuance. The higher mark answers include, a business plan is only as good as the assumptions it's based on. If the entrepreneur overestimates sales or underestimates costs, the plan will be misleading. Market research is therefore crucial to ensure the financial forecasts are realistic. Now let's talk about financial planning in more depth. Specifically, how businesses use break-even analysis to understand their financial position. Break-even is the point at which a business's total revenue equals its total costs. It's making neither a profit nor a loss. The break-even point is calculated using this formula. Break-even output equals fixed costs divided by the contribution per unit. And contribution per unit equals selling price minus variable cost per unit. Let me walk you through an example. A business sells cupcakes at £3 each. The variable cost per cupcake, ingredients and packaging is £1. The fixed costs, rent and equipment, are £400 per month. Contribution per unit, 3 minus 1 equals £2. Break-even output, 400 divided by 2 equals 200 units. This means the business needs to sell 200 cupcakes per month just to cover its costs. Every cupcake sold above 200 generates profit. Why does break-even matter in the exam? Because it connects directly to business decision-making. If the break-even output seems too high to achieve, the entrepreneur might reconsider the business idea, reduce fixed costs, increase the selling price, or find ways to reduce variable costs. Examiners reward candidates who can interpret break-even analysis and link it to real business decisions. The margin of safety is another concept worth knowing. It measures how far actual sales are above the break-even point. If a business sells 300 units and the break-even is 200, the margin of safety is 100 units. A larger margin of safety means the business is more financially secure. It can afford a bigger drop in sales before it starts making a loss. Let's spend some time on exam technique for the longer, higher mark questions, the ones worth 6, 9, or 12 marks. These are where the real grade differences are made. For a 6 mark explain question, you need to make 2 or 3 well-developed points. Each point should follow this structure. Make your point, support it with evidence or a specific example, and then explain the impact or consequence. Examiners call this point, evidence, explain, or PEE. If the question says explain 2 reasons, make sure you clearly signal each reason. Use phrases like firstly and secondly, or another reason is. For a 9 or 12 mark evaluate or justify question, you need to go further. You need to present arguments on both sides, the advantages and the disadvantages, or the reasons for and against. Then you need to reach a clear, justified conclusion. Examiners are looking for what they call sustained evaluation. That means your judgment runs through the whole answer, not just the conclusion. Here's a technique that works brilliantly for evaluate questions. Use the phrase however to introduce the counterargument, and overall, or on balance, to introduce your conclusion. For example, a bank loan would provide the business with a large sum of money, allowing it to purchase the equipment it needs. However, the business would need to make monthly repayments with interest, which would increase its costs and reduce profit, particularly in the early months when cash flow may already be tight. Overall, for a brand new business with limited trading history, a bank loan may be difficult to obtain, and personal savings might be a more realistic starting point. See how that answer applies the concept to the specific business context, considers both sides, and reaches a clear judgment? That's what gets you into the top mark band. Let's also talk about data response questions, where you're given a table of financial data and asked to interpret it. These questions reward candidates who can read numbers accurately and link them to business concepts. If you're given a cash flow forecast and asked, what does the data suggest about the business's financial health? Look for months with negative net cash flow, a declining closing balance, or a closing balance that goes negative. Then explain what this means. The business may struggle to pay its bills, it may need an overdraft, or it may need to find additional sources of finance. Always use figures from the data in your answer. Examiners specifically reward candidates who reference the actual numbers. Saying in March the closing balance falls to negative £2,000 is far stronger than saying the cash flow is sometimes negative. One more technique for calculation questions. If you're asked to calculate profit and the answer comes out negative, don't panic. Just write loss of X rather than profit of negative X. Examiners appreciate precise use of business language. And remember, in any question that asks you to recommend or advise, your answer must be tailored to the specific business in the question. Read the scenario carefully. Is it a small business or a large one? Is it a startup or an established company? Is it growing or struggling? The right answer for a large established company is often completely different from the right answer for a small startup. Examiners are testing whether you can apply your knowledge, not just recall it,